The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much for staying with us here in the 9 till noon show and keeping us busy with your comments. Obviously, as you can imagine, Letterkenny University Hospital, whether we like it or not, at one point or another, either ourselves or someone very close to us will have to engage with the services there. So it's a huge issue. Hi, Greg. I spent nearly €1,000 between private consultants' visits and cardiac tests in Dublin as I wasn't waiting for a public appointment. The private system offers diagnoses at weekends and outside the normal 9-to-5 public system. Had a scan in Aphidia in Letterkenny at 8 p.m. on a Saturday night. If the HSC adopted this approach, waiting lists would reduce. Hi, Greg. The people will definitely get behind this and join a protest to highlight the crisis in Letterkenny Hospital. We think people would attend Dublin like they did for the Micah rallies. Dublin only took notice when it was in front of them. Indeed, it is another one of those ones, though, that if it's a political protest, it will... If it's driven by a political party, it will not have the same numbers. A lot of the success of the public protests is when they're apolitical. Some people don't like me saying that, but I can only state what I observe. On another note, regarding the lady you spoke to yesterday that was in a home in Letterkenny because there was no home help available to be given to her, though she had a care plan in place for 2 years, it is not the case of someone goes to hospital, they get their care back when it's time for them to go home. Or is it now true to say that if someone goes to hospital, they'll lose their home help on exit? This is extremely concerning. I'm not sure if her care was originally being provided by the Irish Wheelchair Association. At what point that was transferred to the HSE, I don't know. But it's the HSE who said that they don't have a care package available for her. She's 4 weeks in a nursing home in Letterkenny. She's from Inishowen herself and just wants to go home. She's 65, but she says she's an active 65 and just wants to get home, especially, I imagine, with Christmas approaching. Greg, I've been waiting for an appointment for endocrinology for 2 years. I've no other option but to go to Galway. Letterkenny is forgotten. The majority of medical staff are doing their job, but if you actually sit in the ED and watch doctors and nurses work there, it's no teamwork. There's a few who don't deserve to work there. The work ethics aren't there. Sometimes as a family member of a loved one sitting there for hours watching, this is very disturbing. But again, for the most part, people seem very happy with the staff working in difficult conditions, and often they're being pulled from pillar to post. I'd imagine it's hard to present an incredibly organised work environment when you are being run completely off your feet, left, right and centre. That man is talking about Letterkenny Hospital being left behind. The whole of Donegal is being left behind. If it hadn't been for Northern Ireland down the years with the amount of people travelling from Donegal to see to the north to work, where would Donegal be now? And now they're talking about a united Ireland. The government can't look after 26. Can you imagine 32? Where are our politicians who are appointed to boards within CELTA? Their silence is deafening. Well, the ones that are on the CELTA board, we've spoken to them. They have raised all of these issues at those board meetings. They can't compel management or senior HSE officials to do what they ask, but they have raised, in fairness to them, and it's a cross-party, they have raised these issues at these meetings, but very little comes from them, if that makes sense, other than information. GPs bashing the ED again. You wonder why it can't recruit experienced nurses and doctors who would want to work there. These people mop up the incompetence of poor primary care management. It's a bit controversial, but look, we could sort of say, don't talk about this and it'll go away and we'll be able to hire staff. But that's not working. That won't work. We need CELTA to invest fully and properly in the hospital to bring it up to a standard equal to that elsewhere. We're not looking for everything to be ahead of everywhere else. We're just looking for equality. Did you not hear of the people from Fannad having to pay €400 in taxis because their treatment was in Galway? No way of getting up or down. That's not GP's fault. You know, that's just the reality of the health service. They should be able to get that treatment timely in Derry or Letterkenny. But no, they have to get a taxi from Fannad to Galway. Greg, it's high time the people of Donegal took this to the government in Dublin like the Micah. Let's get the people of Donegal to completely shut down Dublin or this government once and for all, because this is not about housing, houses falling down. It's about people's lives here, and that's gone beyond acceptable. So come on, people, let's get this sorted once and for all. It's been going on far too long, and only the people can sort this out, they say. Some comments from our social media. I'll come back to that, actually, because that's that scam that's going around. Fair play to the GPs for calling out Sialta Group and hospital management. Sligo has better services than Letterkenny, they say. Why, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Letterkenny University Hospital needs a major overhaul in management from senior to facilities. It's a joke, a mess that needs fixing badly and soon. We must realise that it's the government policy of mass immigration that's the root cause of the health crisis. Saying it's racist to even ask such questions is patently absurd. It's not racist at all. It's not the root cause of it, though, because we've been dealing with this for absolutely years, long before there was an influx. Obviously, and it's been recognised by those who know, you increase the population, you increase demand on services. That is it, but that's not the root cause of it. We could have the all of the people that have arrived here over the last 2.5 years or however long it's been could all go tomorrow. Do you think all of a sudden everything would be fine and dandy? Of course it wouldn't. What about all of the people that are from outside the country that are working in the hospital? Would you send them home too? What would happen to Letterkenny University Hospital then, I wonder? Greg, can anyone explain to me why the management is still in place at the hospital? Are they capable of running it? The bottom line is, and I can only go by from what GPs, consultants and others say, that this is a Sialta issue. Right, okay. Hi, Greg. It's not a scam as it's on the Revolut app. I never said it was a scam. What I said was only submit your PPS number through the Revolut app. What I said was is what will happen now is the scammers, because they're very active, they will say, right, okay, Revolut's asking people for their PPS numbers. They'll start sending texts and say that by law, because the blurb's on the Revolut app, by law you have to give us your PPS number, follow this link to do so. Don't do that. Within the app, of course, you do have to input your PPS number. I have. It's not a scam. It's part of them. It's part of them adhering to the Central Bank of Ireland's rules and regulations. But what I was saying is it's only a matter of time before the scammers start sending messages or emails purporting to be from Revolut. But if you get the notification through your app, then yes, you do have to provide your PPS number to Revolut. Roisin Llorente runs the Bridge Bar restaurant in Remelton and is with us on the programme now. Good morning, Roisin.
Hello, good morning.
You've been speaking about a lack of public transport, taxi services and the impact it can have on businesses, including your own. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so not just, as you say, our own, but a lot of businesses in the area. This was actually recently brought to our attention by a customer who travels from Kerrykeel on the 300, the local link, on a Friday and Saturday evening. She gets up here around 6:30 and comes in for her dinner and then gets the link in that use the service. And also we have a lot of staff that would use the service as well. I just think it would be beneficial to every business between Fannet and Letterkenny to have the service extended to include these evenings. Yeah, not just for us, but like if you wanted to go into Letterkenny a night, you know, you've got the nighttime economy. There is a lot of jobs, the theatre, the cinema, staff night outs, you know, it would be good.
Yeah, and it would benefit all the areas between its start, stop and in between too, obviously, then.
Well, yeah, like cafes, restaurants, you know, as I say, the late night shopping, and especially coming into the winter nights now, a lot of people don't like travelling, you know, driving at night time. It can be for newer drivers like myself. I just recently learned how to drive, so it can be a little bit nervous sometimes. And just jumping on the bus, going up, doing your shopping, coming back down, relaxing, you know, reading a book on the bus, chatting to a friend, making a new friend, whatever it is, you know, just not having to worry about the traffic in Letterkenny, as you know, is a nightmare. Mm. And if you are then out to have a drink or whatever, not having to worry about how you're getting home, you know, that the service is always there.
Because you would get customers, services, I presume, that would, I mean, obviously, if they're relatively local, they won't be long learning, but presumably you do get customers that land for a lovely evening, presuming that it's just a case of ringing a taxi to get home.
Yeah, well, we do have local customers that know about this, but a lot of people, local and not local, don't actually know about it and don't realise what a great service that there is, you know, provided already. Yeah. And that we do need to start using these services to keep these services. You know, like, I think in the city, you're used to grabbing a bus, no problem, or a taxi because it's just there and available. We'll not even think about it sometimes. We'll just nip up to Letterkenny in the car or whatever, and we'll not even think about using these buses. So I think if we do fight for them a little bit, we will be able to get them extended, or to keep them as well, maybe to add on links and different routes. And then obviously visitors coming into the area who really don't know and just expect when they go to a restaurant or a cinema or a theatre, whatever it is, that there will be a taxi, you know, sitting outside waiting for them. And it can be a little bit embarrassing sometimes that you have to then, you know, put them into your wee car and take them home because there is no other service available, you know.
Is that why you learned to drive?
Unfortunately, yeah. It's a slow ride home when I take them home.
I had my tongue in my cheek there, but there you go. That is service for you, isn't it? And you say the local link is there. It's a good service, but more people need to use it.
It's a great service, and it's a great price.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a single journey is €3. A return journey is €6. It's free to travel pass holders, and it's free for under 5-year-olds. I know a lot of people do flag it. Now, I don't know the kind of right on that, but they do flag it down kind of outside their house or not too far from their house. So they can, you know, you don't necessarily need to go to the stop.
It can be a little bit more informal, isn't it, for the most part, I think.
Do you know what I mean? It is. It's that local community bus. Look, I know such and such is getting on here now. We'll just stop and we'll get her on or get her off or whatever it is. And that's what we want in these kind of areas, to highlight these community buses and as I say, just to use them as much as we can. And it will bring a lot, like for nighttime economy in Letterkenny or Remelton, or the dream would be to get it from Milford, you know, Milford up to Letterkenny or vice versa. People coming down into the town would be brilliant, and bring in jobs, and especially at this time of the year, you know, in winter when we don't have the visitors or as many visitors as we would like.
Yeah.
Getting the people, the local people, out and about and using the services that we have rather than going online and buying your shopping, you know, online in Amazon or whatever the company. You could go up to Letterkenny and out.
And in terms of socialising too, there's a safety element to it potentially as well, and options for people. Indeed, there are some moves on to have that service extended. You say maybe for into Milford as well. We'll contact Local Link and see what the story is with them there. But I think we're entitled to a reasonable bus service in rural Ireland. There is one there, of course, don't get me wrong. But you know what I mean, extended, different times and what have you. Roisin, thanks very much indeed. Thanks very much for joining us. Continued success with your lovely business. I do appreciate your time. Roisin Lorente there runs the Bridge Bar and Restaurant in Remelton. Now, we have teamed up this week with Vodafone, who are promoting their High Digital initiative. High Digital is an online skills training program for older people over the age of 65, developed by Vodafone Ireland Foundation in partnership with Alloan. The training is available online or via in-person classes, and you can go to highdigital.ie, that's HIdigital.ie, or call 1800 20 30 30 for more information. And here is some more information for you.
Welcome to the Highland Radio High Digital Online Skills Tips, brought to you by the Vodafone Ireland Foundation and Alloan. High Digital is an online skills course designed with older people in mind. Today, we're giving you tips on how to use the voice note feature on WhatsApp, one of the most popular messaging apps in Ireland. It lets you contact others in many ways, such as texting, phone calls and video calls. The voice note is great for people who find it tricky to text. Look for the microphone icon to the right of where you normally type a text. Tap and hold down the microphone button to send a voice note. Just speak into your phone like a dictaphone. Lift your finger off the button to send the voice note. For a more in-depth tutorial on this and many other lessons, log on to highdigital.ie or call 1800 20 30 30 for more information. Brought to you by Vodafone Ireland Foundation and Alloan.
Yeah, indeed. And you can avail of that voice note feature, which is quite timely, by testing it with us, if you like. If you want to send a message and comment on what we're talking about or something that you want to talk about, raise the issue, hold down that mic on your phone, record your voice message and release and send it to us. There you go. Simple as that. Let's see. 086 60 25000. Send your WhatsApp voice messages. Joe joins us now. Hi, Joe. Good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How's the form?
I'm all right. How are you, Joe?
Not too bad.
All right. We're talking about the situation at Letterkenny University Hospital. What say you?
I think the most striking thing is the fact that the GPs and even the doctors have to come out and form a task group to try to force funding out of the government. Like, have the people of Donegal let the TDs off the hook? Is there enough pressure on them? Are they hearing enough about it?
Mm-hmm. You mean, are the public doing enough?
Yeah, the public did enough. Like, things must be... There's a past breaking point up there. Like, when you have GPs coming out trying to fix the problems, like, they're up to the rise of their own work, and it's not their job to do it to start with.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is one platform that people can use, and they do, and they have been doing for years. There are some would say it's about time the GPs and consultants come out, you know, and have a good relationship with them. That's not a criticism, but I think people have felt broken because, you know, when something, you know, when you complain about something so much and it never changes, I think maybe we've given in a little bit, and this is the fire in our belly that we need to say enough is enough.
Yeah, well, I get that, but at the same time, GPs are GPs, and is it up to them to have to come out to call for funding and tell how bad it is?
Yeah, I get you. Okay, and the consultants as well. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I think I heard Dr. Sugru was on there a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah,
I didn't get all of it, but I think it's past the crisis point when that's going on.
I think you're right. I think you were right because there was some and you referenced Mr. Sugru there. He said that if things keep going the way we are potentially looking at a service collapse. We're losing services, diabetes services, endocrinology services, dermatology services. Do you know what I mean? These are really critical things that are affecting thousands of people out there, Joe. You know, it's not like four or five people. This is thousands upon thousands of people of all ages and backgrounds that are. Because the consultants are leaving, there are quite a few of them. You can pay to go and see them, but they don't want to. They don't feel they can work in Letterkenny anymore.
Exactly. I suppose it gets to a point, like when you have TDs in a position, even as ministers, is there a red line where they say they put the priority of the people ahead of themselves and ahead of politics? And if the health service in Donegal isn't one of them. Where is the red line?
Well, you could argue that Joe McHugh did that. Now he's outside government, effectively. You know, he can't influence from within. Maybe sometimes are you better staying within the system and seeing, you know, I'm sure Minister McConlogue would argue he got that meeting with Stephen Donnelly to get the review team to look at the hospital. Could he have done that if he had given up the party whip? Maybe not,
well,
I don't know.
If enough of them would stand up, the numbers... The numbers when it comes to vote sometimes can be fairly close.
Yeah.
And the TDs have leverage if they want to use it. Maybe they're happier sitting in and, as you say, trying to influence from inside. But, yeah. And again, the health of Donegal hasn't been working.
Yeah, okay. Well, and listen, I'm not saying up locally, but maybe down the country they have private health insurance and they don't really understand or don't have to understand what it's like for the rest of us.
But is there a bigger agenda going on? Are they making the health service so bad that they're trying to force people on to have private health insurance and letting you go private?
Yeah, well, our private insurance options up here are slim, but who's to say? Joe, I can sense the frustration in your voice, and I don't mean that. I mean in a positive way that you say you're going, this is a ridiculous situation. Thanks for your time, Joe. I appreciate it. Good man. Have a lovely day, will you?
All right, Joe. All right, Greg. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you very much indeed. All right. Sadie's with us now on a different subject. We're talking about parking in Buncrana. Hiya, Sadie.
Hello. How's Greg?
It's good to have you on
Greg,
the show.
I just want to highlight something that happened to me last Saturday.
Yes.
I went to the town in Buncrana Main Street and I parked and I was there about 10 minutes and I went home and I forgot something and I went back about an hour later. Mm. Parked on a different spot completely, was there about 6 minutes and came home and didn't even see my ticket was stuck to the window on Sunday. Brought it up, it was down that I had parked nearly 2 hours. Brought it up to the parking attendant and she says to me, oh, I says, I wouldn't mind if I had been there 2 hours, but I wasn't there.
Yes.
2 hours, I was only there less than a half an hour altogether. And she says, oh, that's the machine, you have to pay the ticket. So I had to pay. Just to let people aware, it's not very sharp local, is it?
No, it's a good one, because what would have happened there, I suspect, and this is not in any way not to back you up here, what I suspect has happened there is they have flagged your, you know, you're allowed a bit of free parking, aren't you? They've taken a scan of your number plate, you've left, and then you've come back in, and as far as their machine is telling them, you never left. You've been sitting there on Main Street. I've heard of it before, but not for quite some time. And you've got a parking ticket. You have to pay that, don't you?
Yes, I paid it, and but I was in the camera showed I was in two different positions on the Main Street. I was farther up at the outside the four lights, and then the next time I was down at Max.
Right.
And I brought it to the parking attendant, and she said to me, "Oh no, this isn't me. That's the machine. You have to pay this way." And I was just very annoyed that I had to pay €40.
I'm not
surprised.
But
just letting people aware that there's a way of it on Quanah Main Street.
And Sadie, really, what we can take from that then is that you are allowed a bit of free parking, but only once a day.
You're only allowed once a day.
Yeah.
I brought it up with somebody else too in the town, and he said to me, "No, you're only allowed once a day." So it really wouldn't encourage you to shop local. It'd be better going to Letterkenny shop and parking in 2 hours. That's the way I think.
Well, you only get half an hour in Letterkenny, but what about, is it not 30 cents? Okay. But is it not 30 cents or something to park, Sadie, and then you can wander bunk around
but
free?
I didn't mind. It would have no bother. I didn't mind if I'd have been there the half an hour to pay the half.
I hear you.
I wasn't even there long enough to pay the half an hour.
Yeah.
I just want to make people aware of it, and that's the way it is.
You are 100% correct. And you know what? You've probably saved a few people a €40 there, Sadie. So I do appreciate you coming on, and it does feel a little bit unfair. Were you told that you could appeal it if you wanted to, and you could go into court? You could have said,
"No, I wouldn't
waste
do that.
Your time." Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No.
All right, okay.
Just want to make people aware. That's what it's like. Okay,
Sadie,
thanks,
have a wonderful day, will you? Thank you so very much indeed for joining us. I really do appreciate your time. Let's stay with parking, but we're going to switch down to Galway now. Eric's with us. Hi, Eric. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
What's your experience? You actually, by coincidence, this is another individual from Fannad having to travel to Galway for treatment. We heard examples from the doctor, but this is different. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I just want to applaud Barrick for what he's trying to do, because this needs to be highlighted. The way Letterkenny Hospital has been run down. I had to take a friend to Galway just about 10 days ago there. And we left at 6 o'clock in the morning. His appointment was for 10:30. And we were there. We were there in good enough time. And he went in for an appointment. It was 11:20 before I could get the car parked. I was driving round the hospital looking, trying to see if I could get on. And every entrance to every wee park that's there, there are a number of them, was queued.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said to one of the attendants there, "You know, what are you supposed to do here to get parked?" And he said, "Go over to that one and wait there." He said, "That's your best chance."
Mm-hmm.
11:20, I finally got the car parked.
Wow.
And if that appointment had been for myself.
Yeah, you were able to drop the person off. But even if they weren't able to walk from the vehicle, for an example, if you had to help them in, you would have been in bother as well.
Yeah, well, I was able to leave them outside the door with her. Their centre was. That was no problem there. But it's just what had happened if that was for myself. I had an appointment there.
Yeah, you'd have been bothered.
That was going to be
a
bit.
And out of interest, we're not going to talk about your friend's private information, but how long were they in the appointment for?
Oh, they didn't get out till 3:15.
Right, okay. So it was a long enough session.
Yeah. But I don't mind paying for the parking.
No, I get that. Yeah, it's having the parking available.
It's just having it available.
Yep.
Everything has been pushed into Galway there. And fair enough, it's a very good hospital. We don't want to run it down in any way at all. Very, very good what they're doing there. But they have to allow the facilities there for people to come in.
Yeah. And I suppose, again, not talking about anything private, but I mean, if you hadn't have been able to run your friend down, Eric, how would they have got down to Galway to be in time for a 10:30 appointment, I wonder?
I don't know.
There's no bus,
get a taxi or maybe go down in an ambulance. But it was only there just as a follow-up.
Aye, but if he didn't have a good friend like you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he'd get another friend.
Well, I think you're being very modest there, Eric.
Probably wasn't a bad bit on me.
That's okay. If I'm ever stuck, I know who to give you. I've got your number here now, Eric, all right? you can pick me up on your way through Donegal Town. Listen, actually, in all jokes aside, Eric, you're a very good friend. And I appreciate you coming on and helping us highlight that issue. Because even when you do have someone like you that will drive you down, where is there to park the car? And it took you a long time to get parked there, 40-odd minutes, I think you mentioned. Eric, listen, God bless you. Fair play to you. I really appreciate my chatting to you, or you chatting to me, sorry.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
You too, Eric. Take care. Thanks so much. And I really do appreciate you listening to us here on the programme as well. I've been attending the doctor since April. I've tried multiple creams and tablets. I was referred to Dr. McKenna in Sligo. I got a phone call this week to say that Dr. McKenna won't see me for, how long do you think? 4 years. I've not been able to sleep since April due to itching and scratching. I now have to go private to Ballykelly. I was offered by Dr. McKenna to go private and that I would be seen in 2 weeks. But what's the point in that if he wasn't able to see me through public for 4 years? Well, there is an allocation of time that they have, but I take your point. I waited 7 weeks for a referral and was told that it hasn't got through. Sligo would have been closer to me, but going to Ballykelly doesn't make much difference for travel. Referrals to Sligo are looked at one day a week. They won't see you for 4 years. I'm completely out of pocket. I can't claim back cross-border. If they pay you and how much they pay you is another story. I've tried everything. I don't know what else to do. It's ridiculous. I'll scratch my skin to the bone. I've seen 3 doctors in the practice, multiple creams, tablets and steroids. You name it, I've had it. A caller says she was due an operation in October 2022 and she was called the morning of the operation to cancel it. She's had no word since, even though she's constantly chasing it up. The whole thing is completely mentally draining as well as everything else. Can you imagine? All set for your operation in October 2022, cancelled on the morning, not a pip since. Another caller says there's a lot of wasted money. They should be looking at the transportation of patients and organise a minibus so they can travel together instead of sending patients individually. This has been going on long before COVID. Another caller says, I was a short-term patient at Letterkenny Hospital recently and I can't praise the medical staff enough for their care. And again, I'll clarify this just to be really, really clear. We're standing with the staff at Letterkenny University Hospital because they're working in incredibly difficult conditions and they can't really speak out. I get messages from them from time to time on social media primarily or through this programme, but they can't speak out and they are worked to the bone down there. We're standing with them, not against them. A lot of people get really good care in Letterkenny University Hospital and when you go through the ED, a lot of people get good care. But there is an awful lot of people, you know, 1,500 of them in the first 6 months of the year that say enough is enough, I can't even wait here any longer, I'm going home. We don't know how they've fared. There are those who are scared to go into the hospital because they can't tolerate another 9, 10, 11, 12 hour wait. We have to think of them as well. So notwithstanding the good experience that many people have, we cannot ignore the thousands that don't have a similar pleasant experience. And also we do have to back up and stand with staff and I suppose to some extent management who claim they are as much as they can campaigning for better resources. Hi Greg, I was in the ED last night and sat for 14 hours and watching numerous people leave. The waiting times are a joke and also watched a person that was looking for mental health services and seemed to be overlooked and refused help. The person was walking about causing no harm and the hospital removed this person for causing a disruption. I always thought healthcare couldn't be refused. That's particularly worrying. Dependent on where that person was removed to, you don't know exactly what might happen thereafter. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Very shortly, we're going to be joined by Dr. Joe Kelly. He is going to be talking history with us, which is good. Did you give me the details of that, Caroline? Sorry, I just need to know what the number is and things like that there. Okay, you did. Thanks very much indeed. All right, to some more of your comments now. And a caller says they should all be sacked. This is HSE management. They've let the patients in Donegal Town down big time. They're not happy with that at all. Right, as we wait for Dr. Joe Kelly to call us, we were inviting your voice messages. Here is one of our listeners' contributions.
Hello, Greg. I love the show. I was parked in the Dunn's car park a few weeks ago parked. I couldn't get a family spot, a parent, child and parents car parking space. So I was in a normal space, parked perfectly well within my two lanes. And when I came out of the shop again and come back to the car, I wasn't able to open the door, my back door of the car, wide enough to get my baby into the car. I couldn't get the baby seat into the car. I was so upset because I didn't know what to do. I was standing there with the buggy and the car seat, the baby in it. I couldn't get the door opened. I stood around for about 15 minutes and eventually I had to ask somebody to help me to stand with my baby while I drove my car forward out into the road so that I could get the doors opened. And I just think it's absolutely ridiculous, the size of the car parking spaces at the minute. Like, cars have got bigger over the years, the spaces have never got bigger, and it's just so frustrating as a parent, particularly when you're trying to get young children in and out of the cars. And I was so upset that day that I had to ask somebody to stand, a stranger, to stand with my baby while I got into my car and drove it out. I'm even upset now just thinking about it again. It was just horrible. Is there anything that can be done with regards planning when they're building shopping centres and are, you know, organising car parking spaces, that they need to be made bigger?
Yeah, indeed. That's one listener's voice note. If you want to send your voice notes to us, 086 60 25,000, that's a problem I've encountered myself. And you think you've parked with plenty of room, then another car pulls in beside you, you can't even get the doors open because, and I've said it before as well, so it's interesting, our listener pointing that out, that the car parking spaces are very narrow at times. Can you empathise, sympathise with that listener? Let us know, 086 60 25,000, or call us 07491 25,000. Right, we're inviting you not to miss BAFTA award-winning comedian Michael McIntyre. He's got a brand new show, and it's coming to the Magnificent... it's called The Magnificent, and it's coming to the Magnificent SSC Arena in Belfast. You know Michael McIntyre. He's a brilliant comedian, very, very funny, and he does The Wheel, that show as well, on the BBC. He's a big star, very, very funny. I find him hilarious myself. We're going to make it very easy for you if you want to go and see Michael McIntyre, because we are going to provide for you luxury transfer that gets you up and down nice and cosy and safe, an overnight stay in the Clayton Hotel Belfast on a B&B breakfast, so you'll get a lovely hotel room and your breakfast the next morning. You get your ticket to the show, and we'll also give you a bit of shopping time the next day in Belfast City Centre. The price for the tickets for the trip is $269 per person sharing, but that includes everything. $269 per person sharing. The show is on Friday, the 31st of May next year. So again, a good Christmas present idea. Now, if you want to hold your spot, £100 will hold it for you, and then you can pay in if you wish. For more information, you can go to the outlet on highlandradio.com or give us a call on 07491 25,000. It is the perfect gift for Christmas for Michael McIntyre lover in your life. A great night out, actually, to go and see a proper comedian. That's in Belfast on the 31st of May, and we'll look after you, your accommodation, your transfer, your ticket, a bit of shopping time in Belfast. $269 per person sharing. Get in touch with us if you want to secure your space, and you can do so now effectively and have Christmas in the bag for the sum of €100. Okay. Now, we are going to be talking history, as I mentioned, with Dr. Joe Kelly. He is a historian, but that's only one string to Joe's bow. Dr. Joe Kelly, Majin Wei, how are you? Good morning to you. Welcome to the 9 till noon show. Welcome back. No, your internet's...
Majin Wei, good hearing yourself, Greg. It's the luck in Highland Radio and all listening in Highland Radio. And apologies, I'm running between classes here. So thanks, Caroline, for your patience.
Yeah, well, I wasn't ready to come to you, so it all works out. It's hard to believe it's 2007 when we were all talking about the 400th anniversary of the Flight of the Earls. That's correct, isn't it? I would have guessed that was 3 or 4 years ago, but no, it's 16-odd years ago. How significant is the Flight of the Earls? And I suppose just give us a... Before I get into my delicious questions, just to give a brief synopsis of what happened in 1607.
Well, basically what had happened was the 9-year war had happened before that, when O'Neill and O'Donnell and Maguire, the earls and lords of Ulster, tried to keep the British advancement that had occurred elsewhere in Ireland from entering into Ulster. And they had led a hard, long campaign. They almost succeeded. But unfortunately, they fell short. In 1601, the Spanish arrived in Kinsale with an army. And unfortunately, it was in Kinsale that they landed because it was too far away from Ulster. Had they come up into Killybegs, it would have been geographically and strategically much, much more efficient. But they realised after that that this wasn't sustainable. And then there was the Treaty of Mellifont in 1603 that more or less ensured that British law, customs, language, religion would be enforced in Ulster. So look, that's the background to it. And so when you ask, is it important? Well, when they left, when these earls left, these noble Gaelic lords left, it really marked the end of, say, a millennium and a half of Irish Gaelic culture, civilization. You could see from 1170, Strongbow arriving and King Henry II declaring himself King of Ireland in 1172. From that time until, you could say, the flight of the Earl 1607, that's over 430 years, they had been fighting to keep the English out, and they just ran out of road, so to speak. They hadn't the manpower, the energy to sustain this colonial nation that was coming in on top of them. So in that sense, it's very, very significant because it marks the end of the Gaelic order. It marks the end of what we would have known, maybe this or poets or law.
So
system.
Why did they leave 99 noble men and women? They left Rathmullen. Were they fleeing a sinking ship? Was it to, I don't know, is that they would be the guardians of our culture or our history, or what? Why? And how hastily was it organised? And why? What is that? Why did they leave?
Yeah. Well, look, that's a real difficult question, but a very difficult question to answer. And there are a number of different theories and beliefs. One was that they felt that they could no longer sustain themselves with what was happening with the advancement of England. The other argument was maybe religion, that they felt, certainly in the case of Rory O'Donnell, remember his brother Red Hugh had gone to Spain to get help, but he died there. And so Rory, his brother, took control in Ireland. And Rory was a very good man who really had a strong belief in his faith. And a lot of the church lands in Ulster were now taken over by the Protestants. That was the rule, the Protestant bishops, and they had to concede that, and they weren't happy with that. The monasteries were closed, priests were banished. So one of them would have been religious reasons. Other were financial reasons. Some would say that, you know, O'Neill and O'Donnell, because they had lost their lordship, so to speak, they didn't have the same rental income. And for that reason, they were leaving, that they just felt that they couldn't continue. Others would say it's because, and Dr. Silk, God rest him, the Rafodeosan historian, and who actually unearthed a letter written about a year after they had left in the hand of Hugh O'Donnell, that they had been actively still seeking help from Spain to send another army, and that this was found out by the English. And so Hugh O'Neill was afraid. He'd been summoned to London in 1606 to go there in 1607. And he feared that if he went there to see the king, King James I, who was actually a Catholic, that he might lose his head or that he might never get back to Ireland again. But in fairness, and maybe historically, King James was very, very fair to Hugh O'Neill, and always went on his side as opposed to his advisor sides. So Dr. Silk had found this letter in his hand saying that he'd been in touch with Spain, and maybe Hugh O'Neill had realised that the English had found out that he was... See, Hugh O'Neill had been sent to England to be reared. Hugh O'Donnell was captured and put in the Round Tower in Dublin, where the English said, right, we control the O'Donnells if we can capture this young man that was captured in Rathmullen. We talked before about that. And O'Neill was taken to England to be educated from the age of 8, and he returned to Ireland about 18, and he was made Earl of Dungannon. So he was brought up in the British educational system, and he would have known Queen Elizabeth, and he was seen as, okay, this man now we can trust back in Ulster. But what maybe they didn't realise is blood is thicker than water, and O'Neill and O'Donnell, O'Neill was married actually to Hugh O'Donnell's sister, and Hugh O'Donnell actually married Hugh O'Neill's daughter, one of his daughters. So there was a blood connection there. And the men of Tyrone and Tyrconnell, we've never lost that togetherness. And it was very evident there.
And,
so
and they were all notable. Sorry, they were all noble, but are they all notable, the 99?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting, the list of who was on this boat. Tygo Kenan, who was scholar, went on the journey with them. He was with Maguire, Cúch Chonaic Maguire, who was one of the earls that left. And he kept a record, and it still survives. Don't know how it ever survived, but miraculously he went with them, ended up going to Louvain with them, and then eventually to Rome. And the record, the manuscript's now a new CD, about 150 pages. And in that record, he talks about the ship journey. He talks about, and this is how we know so much, who the 99 were on this boat. And the Annals of the Four Masters make a lovely, lovely point. And if you indulge me, this is what they say. This was the most noble ship load, for it is certain that in modern times that the sea had not poured forth from Ireland, nor would or wind waft a ship that would have proved finer or more illustrious or nobler on grounds of ancestry or better deeds of bounty, valour and exploits than had God permitted them to remain in their country till their children attained manhood. This was the creme de la creme of Irish nobles that had led particularly Ulster in the 9 Years' War. And they all left on this boat. And included in that was the great O'Neill himself.
And we thought the brain drain was a new phenomenon, but clearly not. I know you're between classes. Do you have a couple of minutes after 11, or must I? You do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are in conversation with Dr. Joe Kelly, reflecting on the flight of the Earls, the 14th of September, 16 or November, is it November, Joe, or September?
September.
Okay.
You're probably working off the old calendar, which would be correct. There was an old, you know, the way it changed with Gregorian. These Gregories that do a terrible thing, they changed the calendar.
You wouldn't know what day of the week it was if it wasn't for me. Stay where you are.